Good morning. This is the host, Julian Enriquez, and I'm with
Michael
and
Matthias.
And this is Bits and Reads. All right, Michael. So first question, what was the name of the book you read?
The book I read was The Face on the Milk Carton.
Who's the author of that book?
Caroline B. Cooney.
What's the genre of this book?
The genre of this book is fantasy fiction or history.
Nice. How many pages was in it?
184 pages.
Nice. So how did you come across this book, or did you discover this book?
Well, I came across this book online while searching for horror mystery books.
All right.
And I seen the cover of the book, which looked a little scary. It's a milk carton and a blurred out person that looks like they're trying to escape the milk carton, trying to get out of it. Also, like the image, it's a lot of symbolism, because back in the day, face on a milk carton, it's like realistic. So.
Oh, okay. What's the point of view in the book is written in? Is it like first, third, second?
This novel is mainly told in third person. The reader follows one character, and it's limited to the main person, Janie. Mm-hmm. And readers also sympathize with Janie's situations and relate to her emotions. So it's mainly third person.
Third person. All right. So what's basically the book about? What's the premise of the book?
So basically, the book is about, you know, a girl named Janie Johnson who's in high school.
All right.
She lives in Connecticut. While at lunch one day, she sees a photo of someone missing on the milk carton, and she thinks it's herself. She begins to solve a lot of clues, and things become more complicated and complicated. She thinks that, quote unquote, her loving parents kidnapped her, but that may not be the case.
Oh.
As you read more and more.
Whoa, that's mysterious. Do you have any important quotes, or like quotes that you picked up from the book that interest you?
Yeah, a couple of quotes that stood out to me was, the first one was, she was a mind floating in an ocean of confusion.
Whoa.
And the reason why I chose this is because throughout the book, Janie just like second guesses herself a lot, because she thinks that she was kidnapped and stuff, but she was like, no, you know, my parents couldn't do that. And the symbolism, like, she was in an ocean full of confusion, so like the ocean, she's just lost in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah.
So she was just confused by it. Another quote that stood out to me was, she had a sense of herself being brain dead, running on tubes and machines. I chose this quote because she just couldn't, like, I don't want to spoil it, but if you read the book, towards the middle, like, what she finds out, she's just so shocked, and she starts to cry and stuff because she just couldn't believe what really happened. So,
damn.
Those are the two quotes that stood out the most to me.
All right. How would you describe the tone the narrator has throughout the whole book?
The tone I picked up in this novel was a very stressed and confused tone.
Mm-hmm.
She's like always, like I said, always second guessing herself. And while reading about the author, I learned that she writes a lot about suspense, horror, and mystery. So I would definitely check out more of her books.
So what was the vocabulary like? Was it like difficult? Was it an easy read? What was it?
Vocabulary, it wasn't really difficult. I mean, there was no words that would just make you stop and think or search up on the internet. But, you know, the book, it flows nicely, and it's just a high school level book.
All right. So did you like this book at all, or?
I like the book. And if anything, I would also read other books. The other books to complete the series, because the book is a part of the series.
Oh, how many books are in the series?
Three.
Oh, nice. All right.
This one, so, and really, it was kind of slow in the beginning, but around like chapter 8 is where things get interesting, and I also became like very hooked because I wanted to know the truth myself.
Oh, yeah. Dang. So would you recommend this book to other people?
I mean, I would only recommend the book to people who have a large mind to make your like own thoughts and stuff about what would happen, and people who just like mystery and have patience to read.
Okay, so final question to wrap this up. If you could say one thing to the author about this book, what would that be?
I would tell the author to make it more interesting earlier in the chapters, because Me myself almost picked a new book because I was getting bored. But later on, you know, it became better. It was more interesting, and I liked it. Right. But I would also tell her that she has a creative mind to write a story like this, and I will for sure read more of her books in the future.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, good.
Good morning. My name is Michael, and today I will be interviewing Matthias on his book. So first, what's the name of the book you read?
The name of the book I read was Ready Player One.
Okay. Isn't that a movie? It's a movie, right?
Yeah, but I didn't get to watch it.
Okay. No, yeah, I'm just asking. Who's the author of this book?
The author of this book is Ernest Cline.
Okay. And the genre?
And this book is fiction.
Okay. How many pages is it?
There are about 385 pages in this book.
Dang.
Big book.
Yeah.
So how did you discover this book?
Well, I didn't really know it was a book. I knew about the movie first, but then in my sophomore year, my English teacher had said that she was like complaining about the movie and how it didn't match up with the book.
Okay. So what do you think? Like, do you think the movie and the book, like, they're totally different?
I haven't watched the movie.
Okay.
So that's probably like the main reason why I read the book, because it kind of like piqued my interest.
Okay.
Because I asked my mom if we can go watch it, but she said I was stupid. So.
What point of view is it written in, like, first person, second person, or third person?
This book is mainly told in first person, and it follows Wade Watts, aka his character in game Parzival. And yeah.
Can you summarize, like, what it's mainly about real quick?
Okay, so basically, there's this giant video game called The Oasis that people in this far future, like broken dystopia, used. And there's these people called the Gunters. They're basically people trying to find the creator of the Oasis's fortune, because he died. So he put up three keys to find, and if you find those three keys, the person who finds those, they inherit his fortune and the game. And also there's Wade Watts, the main character, followed by Hank, his best friend, and Artemis, Gunter. Wade has already found one key, and then he later finds the second key, but then the opposing team, the IOI or the Sixers, they find the third key, but they don't really know what to do with it.
Oh, wait, so do they take control of the game too, or do they just get the money?
If they find all three keys, they take control of the game.
Oh, okay, like, that's cool.
Basically becomes their game.
Seems interesting, because, you know, myself, I've seen the movie and stuff, I just haven't read the book, but yeah.
Was it a good movie?
It was cool. It wasn't like, you know, I kind of got bored of it. But it was a really long movie. It was like over 2 hours long. That's why I got bored of it. Yeah. Could you share like some important quotes or quotes that stood out to you and like explain them?
One of the quotes was, "I couldn't bear the idea that Artemis might actually be some middle-aged dude named Chuck with back hair and a male pattern baldness." And I chose this because it kind of still relates to today with catfishing online, because you don't really know who the person is on the other line, on the other side.
Oh, right. Weren't this is for the movie, but like, I know like the characters playing the games, like they didn't even know each other, right?
Yeah, so they didn't know each other.
Right, okay.
And then one other one was, being human totally sucks. Most of the time, video games are the only thing that make life better. And that's honestly how like some people think today. They don't really have social interactions with people. They're mostly on their phones and just on like social media, video games, etc.
What would you describe the narrator's tone? Like, was it funny, dry?
The narrator's tone, it like mixes in the beginning, because in the beginning it's like kind of bland and kind of funny, but then once it gets to like the middle to the end, that's when things get like serious. And it's like necessary, like it's serious when it wants to be, and then it's funny when it wants to be. So it's like
It's like a good mix of the two.
Yeah.
So would you read like any other books by this author?
Yeah. This is my first book reading by him, and I'd actually.
Do you know like any other books he's written?
No, I haven't.
Okay. All right. So what's the vocabulary like in this book?
Well, there were like only a few words in the book that kind of made me like, what is this? What does that mean? But mostly overall, the vocabulary looked pretty familiar to me. So that's kind of easy going.
So high school level book?
Yeah.
Okay. Did you like the book? And if so, why?
Yeah, this is actually like one of the books that I like reading, and I don't really like to read that much. It was probably because like it's about the future and like video games, because I'm always interested about like things in the future, like what's gonna happen in the future, what are we gonna have, and like this just like kind of adds to like what could happen in the future and like what technology could do for us, and finding the little references to like all video games or movies that he makes, like me finding those in the book, it's kind of like a game.
Okay. What kind of references did he make?
So like he would make like a ton of references, like there'd be Star Wars references.
Oh, okay. I see. That's cool.
So you play video games yourself then, right?
Yeah.
What video games like? Do you think like I'm asking like video games that like maybe the games they were playing in this book types?
When I was little, I used to play like some of the games that they would play, like Adventure on the Atari. I used to play that when I was little with my family, and then they also talk about like Mechagodzilla. I remember watching like that movie with like my family. Mm-hmm. When I was about 12. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was a good time.
Would you recommend this book to other people?
I would recommend this book to people that like video games and like the future, but in like movies. But that's basically all it is.
And last question I have for you. If you could say one thing to the author about this book, what would it be?
Well, if I could like ask him one thing, I would like ask him kind of what inspired him to write this book. Like, how did he come up with the idea of a huge like gaming world where people actually go inside the game and like they can do whatever they want, be whoever they want.
And would you yourself, because you say you play video games, would you like ever write a book on a video game, or maybe like think of a movie?
I think I would, honestly.
Yeah, like, it'd be pretty fun.
Yeah, it'd be pretty cool to like add my own like little references to like movies, like old movies that I know, old games.
Oh, a follow-up question. Would you see yourself playing the Oasis game later in the future?
Oh,
like if it does?
Oh, so that's an actual video game?
No,
it's not. Like if it becomes one, yeah.
Of course I'm gonna be.
Dang.
Probably not all day, but like, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, and now real quick, you know, video games are like the PlayStation like systems back in the day. Like, how much do you think they've like evolved now until now?
They've actually like evolved like a lot, because like when you look back in the old days, the quality of the games are like not as good as today, but back then they were like the hot topic.
Yeah.
Thank you, Matthias.
All right, good morning. My name is Matthias Sua, and I will be interviewing Julian Enriquez. What was the name of your book?
I had The Politics of Illusion, the 10th edition.
Who is the author?
W. Lance Bennett.
What's the genre?
It's like a political science book, kind of.
Yeah. How did you discover it? How did you like find it online?
I was just actually just in the library, just looking around because I was trying to find a book for these outside reading books, and I was just looking at everything. Nothing caught my interest, and there was like this one book on the stands, and it was like beaming. So I was like, oh, I just gotta get this one. So I got it, and it was like a good read.
What's the point? What point of view is your book written from? Is it like a first person, second person?
It's like a first person book. What Bennett does is he dissects everything about journalism and the news and stuff, and like he gives his own opinion about it. So like, yeah, mostly first person.
What's like? Can you like summarize like your book?
Yeah. So basically, I guess what it's about is Bennett. What he does is he takes every bits and pieces of the news and like the political science of it, and like he like goes down to the bone about how like biased they are or how unbiased it could be, how like the different tactics they use to like catch readers' attentions or the watchers' attention and stuff, and like the audience's attention, how they like use their demographics and stuff like to point to a certain demographic they want. It's just stuff about that. It's basically about just him just basically talking about every news outlet and giving away what they do and stuff, I guess.
Quick question. Do you watch the news yourself? Like, do you keep up with what's going on in the world?
Yeah, I do a little bit. I'm not like a news junkie or anything, but like I like to know what's going on in the world and stuff. Good question.
So you like politics stuff?
Yeah, I'm sorry, into politics, so yeah.
That's cool. Are there any like important quotes that stood out to you in the book?
Yeah, so this is one quote on page 41. It says, television anchors model their delivery styles and even their looks based on the results of the market research. News topic selections increasingly keys into the lifestyles and, in the case of some cable outlets, the political views of audiences. So why this quote stood out to me is that how he was able to tell that even the down to the way they dress and the way like the news anchors dress and how the way they act is a way for them to like hone down, I guess you could say, on the certain type of audiences they want to watch and the certain type of audience they're trying to boost up. Another quote I had was on page 104, and it was, page 104. Simple, though they may appear, these goals are not easy to attain. In the view of communication scholar Jarrell Mahim, the technological use of the image making today are so advanced that the term strategic communication better expresses the sophistication than does the more traditional term public relations. Why this stood out to me was because how we're evolving in ways that are different, and like ways different, like things that news outlets and what people are trying to do, how they go from just like simple symbols to like all these high definition pictures and whatnot in the strategies they use. So that was another cool one.
How would you describe the narrator's tone in the book?
it's very formal. Like, he just gets straight to the point. I guess if for other people reading it, you could say it's dry, but like I guess if you understand what he's trying to say, it gets more formal. It's like more informative, I guess, instead of funny. He's just more down to the bone, easy read, or not an easy read, I guess, but like down to the bone, it gets straight to the point, like a formal read. Yeah.
Would you read any like more books for this author?
To be honest, I don't think I would. It was kind of a hard read. But more books about this, I would say I would. But if you had like an easier read, I would definitely read Bennett more. He seems like a very intelligent person.
Do you know like what other type of books he writes, or is it just all politics?
I would assume it's all politics, but I don't want to make that assumption. I know he has another book, The Politics of Illusion, 8th edition. So I guess he does this all the time, just making his information newer, I guess.
What's the vocabulary in this book like? Is it hard? Is it
easy?
Or is it
It was a little bit of both. Some pages, it was like, oh, I understand this super easy. Like, you can, like, just fly by it. Other pages, you had to, like, reread it once or twice to understand what he was saying. Sometimes I had to, like, even search up some of the words he was using, because I guess some of the words he uses are, like, certain words only, like, news politics knows and stuff. So I had to search up what those mean, and yeah.
Did you like the book?
Yeah, I'd say I liked the book. I liked the book because it was, like, it helped me with my interest in, like, getting more information about what I know and what I want to know later in the future.
So, because you said, like, it's helping you and stuff. So are you trying to, like, become a politic maybe in the future, or are you trying to get into that later in life?
I guess I could see myself becoming one, but I don't think it's, like, one of the bigger things on my list. It's definitely, like, I guess top five up there, just because of how interesting it is to me and, like, how it catches my eye and how much it interests me and stuff like that. So, yeah.
Would you recommend this book to other people? Like, any specific type
of— I would recommend this book, but only to, like, specific people, because just by the name, it's not really an eye-opener book. It's for, like, the third word, or the second word in it is politics, and when people hear that, they think, oh, gross and stuff. So I would recommend this book to people, I guess, that, like, want to go in the field of politics or even journalism, because he talks about journalism a lot in the book, and yeah, just, like, those kind of people.
If you could say, like, one thing or, like, a couple things to the author, what would you ask?
I guess what I would ask the author is, like, what made you decide to write this book? Like, no one goes out and just thinks, oh, you know, let me just dissect everything that these news outlets have. I wanted to, like, know, like, what made him, like, get this spark for him to write this book and stuff. Yeah.
It's a good interview. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, so thank you for tuning in and listening to
Michael,
Matthias,
and Julian. This has been Bits and Reads. We'll see you next time.
MMJ Productions.